Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm fabulous. How are you?
Great. Fabulous. That's good. That's a good way to be.
Yeah, well, it's warm and it's light out almost. It's great.
I know. It's so exciting, isn't it? Every time somebody says they hate the time change, I just say, oh, what is wrong with you? How can you not like these long, warm days? Anyway, I know there's nothing wrong with them. I know that, okay.
Well, you wrote the book on it.
I did. So I have to at least pretend I believe it, right?
Very good. I have announcements to start here.
All right.
Work can be enjoyable if it's done within a supportive structure where ego is not our coworker. In our workshop, The Mentor to the Rescue, on Sunday, April 28th, we will practice having the mentor as our coworker and see the difference wisdom, love, and compassion bring to whatever task we're performing.
It's a way to do it.
Yes, it is. And Sangha is invited to our spiritual home at 4 Acres Zen Center in gorgeous Squim, Washington. This year's Summer of Sangha includes week-long and weekend retreats from June to August. A full schedule of yoga, meditation, guidance, workshops, groups, and self-guided practice will be offered. And it will be possible to accept precepts with this practice during the Summer of Sangha. Slots are filling up fast, so sign up soon.
They are. I think 2 weeks have already closed. So, yeah.
Wow. So hop on it.
So hop on it and get here. Yeah.
Yes. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders for tonight. If you'd like to get in the queue to talk with Sherry, please press *6 and then 1 to make a show. And a conversation of about 5 minutes and on one topic is great. And I think we're ready to start here, Sherry.
Wonderful. I'm ready. You ready?
I'm ready. Here we go.
All right. Here we go. Here we go. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, it's Anne from the Big Apple Island of Manhattan.
Hi,
well, hello, Anne.
Yay. I wanted to say yay first, but that's not my name. Unless maybe it is my name. Anyway, thank you for being so supportive, and I guess ultimately that's what I'm calling about, is for the first time in my life, I really feel what support is, and it's magical.
Say more about it.
Yeah, I had a really hard day today with a client, and I knew the answer. I mean, I knew the answer inside myself. It wasn't like I didn't know, but it was just hard. And I'm a dog trainer now, and we call it the imprint years for dogs. So I'll say, for me, my imprint years of learning things, I didn't necessarily have a support system that I could see. I may have, let me also just say, I may have had a support system, but I couldn't see it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
or feel it.
Yeah, that's extremely insightful and important. That it's not so much what we don't have; it's what we're not able to recognize. Yeah.
Yeah, and so
today you recognized.
I did. It's magical. I love it.
Is there more?
I don't know. I don't really need to get into the deep. I guess I was going to call. What dropped in was complain, but it's not really complain. I was going to call and kind of vent, but in the last 2 minutes, what I really realized was I was just needing support, and I didn't know or feel what that felt like until 2 minutes ago. So,
wow. And what a shift.
Yeah.
From wanting to vent to feeling support, and it sounds like to me being pretty lit up.
Yes. Yeah. A very authentic, present, calm.
Yeah.
I don't know, Zen. I don't know if there's. I don't know. It's hard. And when we point to, it's that simple. It's that simple until you can get to say and understand fully what that simple means. Because it really once I've been getting signs, ironically, since Easter, towards this direction. And it's just, oh my gosh, there it is. Like, there's the keys to the palace, if you want to say it like that. But I don't. It's just,
Yeah. The lights come on, and here we are.
Yes. And it really does point to being able to be present in the moment and seeing and feeling what is all surrounding you that you energetically have kind of put forth.
Yes. It's why we practice.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
We
practice. Which takes it back to your canine friends. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I imagine you sit in them all the time. You know, they don't get it. And then they practice and work and practice and work and practice. And one day you can see,
yes!
Lights came on. Got it.
Yeah.
Success.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's
thank you
amazing.
For letting us know.
Oh, thank you for being there. I mean, I don't like that one. Truly, the support throughout all the years has fully been realized at this moment in time. Just the fact that I could call and be aware enough and present, and that is the true magic. It's presence is a present. And
yes. Yes, exactly. Well named, isn't it?
Exactly so.
Yeah.
And So Gesho, and I look forward to that thing on Sunday. I hadn't checked the website in a while, and I'm definitely going to sign up for that practice. On the 28th, whatever that was.
The 28th, yeah.
So that sounds amazing.
We're having that mentor. Talk about support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Ann.
Thank you.
Go Gesho. Happy.
Yes, go Gesho. Happy. Will do. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Ann. And Sherry, I have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry, it's Virginia.
Well, hello, Virginia.
Hi.
What's going on?
Well, I just wanted to talk to you about stuff I was looking at, and also, just to tell you early, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah, hope you have a great birthday. And, I guess what I've been looking at is, I've been looking at habits like we were talking about last week on the year long. And, I guess what I've been seeing, I've just been seeing a little bit, but that how habits the process of how habits create the self, like the who I think I am, or they create
this Virginia thing.
And for me, the part of that is the habits. Well, a lot of the karma for me is around having an agitated or activated nervous system. So as an adult, I developed my own habits to keep the nervous system agitated. And then, that is how I know who I, in quotation marks, is, or am. And those are, so, and there's, I'll just, one other thing is that there's parts of it that are like, identifiable, you know, like I'm the person who has these sensations, or I'm the person who has these emotions, or et cetera. And then what I realized too is there's a whole bunch that I don't know that, like, there's, like we talk about in practice, like there's a movement and then there's a sensation, and that are below the level of my awareness, but that also get interpreted in some way that I'm not yet aware of, and go to create this idea or this concept of who I am.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, yeah. And I hope you find it exciting.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Good. Mm-hmm. Because yeah. The ones that you've seen, they just make so much sense, and you can realize how all that works. And so that's why we say, you know, there's never a good reason for self-hate.
Right.
Because these habits are old, they're ingrained and entrenched, and so you see it and you recognize it for what it is, and you realize it's a habit. That's not the same as that's who I am. And then
right.
you recognize that there are all of these other ones, or we could say, well, there must be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
the identity is broad and wide and deep. So
right.
There must be a ton of these. Wow,
right.
All right, here we go.
Right.
What else?
Yeah, yeah, yes, I'm with you on that. It is exciting. It's revelatory.
Yes.
It really is. And last week, there was a caller who talked about seeing habits, last week on the year long, who talked about abstaining from a compulsive habit, and they said what they were seeing. And so I said, well, that was really kind of throwing down the gauntlet, and of course there was a lot of thinking about how I could never do that. But it's really not that hard, as I was being told, to abstain from a habit. You know,
at least for
a week. You know, you can at least say, okay, for a week I'm just going to abstain.
Right.
And it was really helpful to hear that, to have that, you know, put out there, and then to see whatever came up in my own practice around that.
Exactly. And you know, Virginia, underline that. A week.
Yeah.
A week. Because we're not doing things in order to become better people.
Right.
We're not fixing or improving ourselves.
Right.
We're seeing how all this stuff works. And a week
yeah.
is plenty long enough to see what that the clause mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. a habit has into us. And it has nothing to do with the content.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It's
everything to do with being controlled by.
Yeah. Well, that's a great point. Yes, being controlled
just because
by.
Say it's, you know, people get stuff about coffee or mm-hmm. they drinking caffeine or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it is, that watching TV or whatever they get going. And then ego, of course, develops that into self-hatred. Now,
mm-hmm.
I didn't put sugar in that category because there are things in that category that I don't want to actually say. And so you see mm-hmm. what it's like to abstain for a week and then you go back to it. Because
mm-hmm.
there are certain things, as we know, that ego would have us do because they are very bad for us. And that's
mm-hmm.
not the same as, you know, I like to have a cup of tea when I first get up in the morning. Or,
right.
You know, whatever that is. On weekends, I like to sleep in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, these are not grave sins or harmful behaviors that are going to be detrimental to a person, and not indulging them, not going with them for a week is going to show us a lot. Then after a week, if you want to go back, do it, see what happens. You might decide do it for a month, take another week off, see what happens.
Yes. And for my part, or here, I think that the juxtaposition, I've had that juxtaposition before, you know, from retreat or from different things where I go away, nervous system relaxes, then I come back, and then and conditioning takes over. Right. But I'm in a situation now, and I won't go into all the details, but I was able to see it really clearly, how my habits feed, how the ego uses habits or these particular ones to get me agitated and then far away from life, far away from myself, really, or that inner, the inner whatever the inner is, you know, the inner life. And anyway, I'm just going to say real quick that juxtaposition really helps me to see, it really moved me to it's helped me to shift to a place of, my God, I want to really take care of myself for me.
Yeah, exactly. Because you know what that calm, peaceful, centered place is. Mm-hmm. And you know what it feels like to be jacked up in that way, that it sounds like you get manipulated or controlled into being.
Yeah.
And you want you know the one you want. So then that now you know what you're practicing for, right? Mm-hmm. And again, it's not a contest, and you're not doing it because it's wrong to be that way and it's right to be this way.
Right.
It's that you want to have this particular life experience, and so you're going to practice having it.
Yes, amen to that. And yes, because in this way that it got set up last week on the year long, and then when I kind of grabbed that page out of somebody else's book, because it was set up that way, it's not a self-improvement, it's not a forever. I was moved to, something in me moved to support myself rather than just make it a dualistic, you know, good person, bad person thing.
You should, you better. Right. Oh, you didn't, you can't. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, I better let you go, but thank you so much.
Thank you, Virginia.
Okay.
Thank you. Go happy.
Go happy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Virginia. And Sherry, you are occasionally breaking up for me, and I don't know if that's my phone or every now and then.
Oh, dear.
Well, and
150 people will be texting us in just a second to tell us, though.
Okay, you're breaking up for me right now.
Okay.
And we're gonna go to Good News Update. So if you wanted to call back in, we could do that also.
Oh yeah, I'll do that, Michael. Thank you.
Great, thank you. And Jen, I'm gonna turn it over to you and your guest for Good News Update.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
And I'm pleased to be joined by Laura, who is here to speak with us about her experience of practicing.
There we go. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, great. So the for anyone who hasn't gotten it yet, I'm hoping, I wish this book for everybody. I wish I could purchase one for every person on the planet. I have just, it has really just spoke to me. So, you know, learning to love learning. And
written and illustrated by Ashwini.
Written and illustrated. Oh, I mean, yeah, just looking at it, the cover of it, it's just lighthearted, it's happy, right? It just makes me smile. And so when I was first introduced to the book, like it happened to come to me at a time where I just happened to hit a rough spot. And I can't remember actually if I read through it first and then recorded it or if I just recorded it while I read it. But it took me an hour, and I recorded the whole book, and then just, you know, it just became a companion for me, you know, since I was first, since it was first offered to me. And I was kind of sitting with, like, gosh, what do you even talk about? It's just, there's, it just speaks to so much. And the, you know, when we're introduced to this, in this practice about going beyond self-hate, it's that, that experience of how we were introduced to learning is almost what makes that process so hard, because it's like it becomes this foundational approach to everything we do.
If I'm tracking what you're saying, Laura, that not through, you know, it's not a fault-finding thing, it's not so-and-so, you know, whatever, but almost by the nature of how we go about it as conditioned humans, the process of, quote, learning becomes a process of self-hate. Is that what you're pointing?
Right, exactly, because learning, you know, is so early associated with, so we have implicit memories and explicit memories. So our implicit memories are learning as, you know, fun, and we're just learning. But the explicit is once we're these experiences with these big people in our lives who project their own experience of fear or shame or should or don't or whatever. And then, you know, really learning isn't learning anymore. And so the book just really, it just so beautifully walks you through this process of how learning was turned into something that really fuels self-hate, and breaks it down in such a beautiful, illustrative, poetic, melodic, right? I just found, you know, it's inspired with, you know, just like so much, or all of the books are, you know, illustrations that are just so, again, keep the topic fun, which is my experience of all of the books. It's that it's infused with lightheartedness. The illustrations become illustrative of the process of ending self-hate, which if we never really look at our relationship to learning, it's like they're synonymous.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And it's why the title of the book, that's one of the things I love so much. I mean, it's like with all of the practice books, the title in itself is everything, right?
Right. Jen, you're going in and out for me, too. I don't know if that's just me.
Oh, okay. Maybe it is, because I'm hearing you perfectly. So let me get off my headset.
Yeah, I can hear the same thing a little bit.
Yeah. Of course, when you come back on, we hear you perfectly.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, tell me. Yeah.
Okay. You're great now.
But the very book itself is truly, we're learning as we read the book how to love learning. We get to actually learn how to learn. Because that never, so early on, I think this is what you're describing, that was taken away from us in a sense.
Yes.
And not because, you know, anyone meant to take it away from us, but it got turned over to, I got to get it right. Oh, my God, if I don't. You know, you mentioned fear, anxiety, all those things. And we lost the ability to learn. And learning is the, you know, such a fun exploration.
Yes. And it's that place around, so there's this process of learning, and then you take it to a content, right, of your life. And, you know, one of this place around the process of accessing or turning to unconditional love, that's really a process that I've been practicing with since Summer of Sangha. And that, how self-hate shows up for this human is, you know, we all have our unique variations of that, and yet the process of it is the same. And so how to learn to love this human, or to how to learn to let unconditional love, right, be what this human lives in.
Mm-hmm. And that you can use the book apply to that. Yeah.
And, you know, in reading the book, like being able to see, in the year-long class, right, that talking about we need a process in order to assist us in having a relationship with, you know, the Dharma, to live the Dharma. And then this place of like, you know, these books, this book gives us like a whole introduction, a reintroduction maybe, to learning, which, you know, Ashwini speaks about, I mean, so many aspects, but how curiosity is, you know, you used the word earlier, robbed, right? It's like, we can no longer be curious about anything because we have to get it right. Because if I don't get it right, then I'm going to be the wrong person. And nobody wants to be the wrong person.
Exactly. And that the process of curiosity, when you said that, it was so big. The process of curiosity is learning. Like we don't, right? So we're just naturally, kids are naturally curious because they're learning all the time. They don't set out to learn what this bug on the ground is. They're curious through that process. They learn. That's how we learn. You know, one of the things, Laura, that keeps dropping in as you're talking is one of my favorite parts of the book is that turning mistake into retake, right? It's just that place of it's like Sherry has said since the very start over and over and over again, there's no such thing as a mistake. A mistake can only happen in a conversation about something wrong. So without that, it's all just a retake. Oh, let me look again. Right. Let me have another go. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I love that part in the book that rhymes like mistake was paired up with self-hate. And, you know, it's just, again, it's like the whole book is so poetic and you could take literally a snapshot, take a page or just, you know, they're written in little, I guess you could call chapters, right? That focus on a specific aspect of learning. And each chapter, you could just read one chapter and that speaks to the whole thing. And yet it's like every chapter is, the facets of a jewel, right? So the jewel being learning, and like every chapter is speaking to a different facet of it.
Yeah. And, you know, you alluded at the very beginning of this, you recorded the whole thing, and I think you said it took you an hour. Mm-hmm. And so that's another thing that I love, about our books in general, but the simplicity of it and how it's so, there's so much in it, but it's very straightforward and it's very simple and completely accessible in that way. I mean, I really think, you know, you said also at the beginning, you wish you could buy a copy for everyone on the planet. I had that same image and I think it'll speak to people of many, many ages.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I literally did buy a large chunk that I'm going to give to my staff. Who join, you know, my kind of place as a, they're actually learn. There's a specific thing they're learning. I thought, how beautiful. And we all are, right? But it's that place of what a beautiful thing to offer someone, you know, who's maybe coming to learn something, to say like, this is the way we're going to approach this.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I mean, truly. Wow. Right?
Yeah.
How fun. What a relief that would be anywhere
to
take that approach.
And that, you know, to be in, imagine being in relationship, now we obviously get to have it in our Sangha, but imagine being in relationship with another person who's approaching, right, something, quote, hard or new or whatever with this, and that, you know, talking about the nervous system earlier, like a whole different relationship with the nervous system when everything's just a retake, right? We just get to see what we saw about that, right? There is no problem, you know, and again, you look at these illustrations of every illustration you look at, it's like it represents the lightheartedness of the topic.
And you know what's so fun about what you're describing, Laura, and taking the approach with your staff, is that I just saw what an amazing collaboration possibility there is there. Because, so let's say a teacher is using this, right, maybe with themselves and their students. Mm. The teacher is going to be learning this process alongside with the students. So how fun is that? That's the exact process. And then that sort of openness and vulnerability is the process, it feels like, that's being pointed at. We're completely invulnerable in a sense to life, because there's nothing that could happen to us, because there's nothing wrong. Our goodness is already established, so it all becomes this amazing playground.
Right. And that place around, for so long, one of the ways that, you know, kind of ego was hijacking my practice was, and I don't see this as now as a mistake, ego tried to for a little while, of how I practice would get used to offer to other people. And there was like a secondary gain that I would receive because I could feel good about offering it to other people. It was beautiful, but I was being left out of it.
Mm.
And so in this process of like, in the learning to love learning, no one is left out.
Yes. Truly.
Right.
Yeah.
And so even in those all those years or whatever that I was, you know, quote, doing this with other people, there was still an experience of a receiving of it. It's just at some point there was a readiness for that intention to be redirected to this human. And that happened when I was ready to see it. There was no mistake in timing.
Yeah, exactly. So it's all the process right there.
Right.
And
yeah.
It's all relaxing, right? So we don't ever have to worry if we're in the wrong place or there's no such thing. It's absolutely impossible. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
Laura,
I could talk about the book forever. I know.
I know. I was just going to say the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do want to turn it back over to Michael and Sherry.
Okay.
And I wanna...
Oh, Jen, you went away. Jen, I'm wondering, Michael, if Jen was going to speak to, and if she wasn't, is that this book, I think for a period of time, I don't know the end date, when people are purchase it, I think it's part of the fundraising project for Cantalomba. That
right.
And a couple of other, the license plate, a hat, there's some really cool cards. So I don't
great.
Know if that's
yeah,
what she was going to speak to, but I think she might have been.
Yeah, maybe Jen or Sherry can speak to that next. Great. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you.
And welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, perhaps you want to address that about the book that Laura was talking about?
Yeah, and I'm with Laura. I'm not sure that's what Jen was going to say, but what Laura said is absolutely true. And along with it is what universe are you creating? Which is another one that I think people could are giving multiple copies to give as gifts and that sort of thing. I can't remember either, but through most, I think, of the month of April, all that fundraiser is going to be going on.
Got it. And did you want me to try to bring Jen back on to speak to any of this?
I just got a text from her saying it is.
Okay, great.
Yeah. What a team, what a team.
What a team.
And I'm so with Laura about the learning to love learning. I just wish everybody could read it for all of the reasons that Laura was laying out. I mean, it just can change a person's life. No matter what the age, you know, it looks like a kid's book. It's not really a kid's book. But for parents to have it or teachers have it, and as Laura was indicating, do the process of learning to love learning for themselves and then let that be incorporated into the orientation of being with younger people who are, we hope, can recover from the trauma of going from that curious about life and wanting to participate and be there, be a part of, and you have to have the right answer. So, I hope people will take advantage of this opportunity because it's a twofer. You get a fabulous book and you get to support the kids in Cantalomba.
Yes, it is fabulous. And Sherry, I've often thought, Jen and Laura touched on it in the conversation, that really if I could have any quality or characteristic, I think curiosity, you know, would be the one that I would pick, because that's how we are naturally in the world and that's how we learn.
Yes. Yes. And it's so exciting. You know, curiosity
yes.
is really exciting.
Yes.
And when that gets taken away from a person, it's crippling. You know,
yes.
it takes a person from joy to burden. And it's never too late to turn that around. It really isn't. But it does take courage and inspiration, and which are two of the things that I love most about our practice. Helps us to have
Indeed.
Courage, and it certainly assists us in being inspired. So,
yes, indeed. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. This is Pasha.
Hello, Pasha.
San Francisco. What a perfect day. Want to report also on habits and sign up already for the taking mentor to my work workshop, which is
uh-huh.
perfect.
Oh,
and it's been a long time practice challenge, and also perfect timing for learning to love learning with a child. And even I've been through a different educational system, I don't feel like I have scars and still interested in learning and curious. I'm seeing how somehow the child gets an idea that it has to be perfect answer. And being a straight A student, it's hard for him to get less than A.
Yeah. And it's so sad, isn't it? Because that
mm-hmm.
Those kind of rigid standards. You know, we can look at a child. How old is he now, Pasha?
13.
13. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we can see that orientation being instilled in him, and you know, I'm sure it's not coming from you and his mother, but he's got a whole school system that he's participating in that is letting him know that there is one way, and that one way is to be the best, no matter what you have to do in order to achieve that. And so that rigidity, we can just see how easy it can be for a person just to carry that through, carry that on, and become even more so often as the competition gets stiffer, then
mm-hmm.
the rigidity, you know, it's got to be, I've got to, and to have that kind of pressure when it's so
mm-hmm.
easy to see that, at least for us, that there's really more to life than being that kind of cultural success.
Yes. And we kind of worked on that on our own and have some progress of like relaxing the standards and making mistakes and not having things perfectly. So my conditioning attached to me is getting things perfect. And what monastery helped me see is, you know, I do the things and that's how it's done. So next time I can do better. But kind of accepting.
You're going to learn.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And also seeing the process of learning, seeing how I do this, you know, 15th time, and look, now the porch is more clean, or I'm not longer breaking windows when cleaning them.
These are good things, aren't they, Pasha?
Yes.
Yeah.
And accepting kind of not setting myself expectation of perfection. Or another episode I remember, I saw somebody else clean, and they would are doing perfectly from my point of view, and that became conditioning wants to grab at a standard test, or now I have to reach that. And what I took it, okay, I saw a good example, I saw a direction where I can go, and it's great, and I can use that information. I don't need to set it as a standard. Which,
that's right. And I don't need to listen to a conversation of comparison, right? It's just, I see. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, good. Oh, thank you. That's good. I like
it. Yeah.
And then it stays in the realm of enjoyment, of happiness and well-being, rather than dragged into ego's world of comparison and there's something wrong and you should and unhappy.
Yes. Yes, and for me it's also kind of challenging myself, maybe not in the sense of like fight or struggle, but okay, here's the place I can learn, here's the place I can try, and I heard somewhere on the show about like not drinking coffee. So I took that as a also challenge. I want to try that. And I'm happy to report, you know, 4 months later, it's kind of faded away. And what it showed me, oh, it's something I thought I needed. Turns out to be I'm perfectly fine without.
Ah, yes. And that, what a payoff, huh? What a payoff.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And again, having nothing to do with the content and everything to do with the process. I was told one thing, I believed it. I challenged that. I was curious. I wanted to see. I wanted to find out for myself. And I found out, I'm fine. That wasn't true.
Yes. The belief was also based on like, oh, this is how I kind of regulate my system. But why do I need to regulate my system? Oh, because my system is messed up with previous day coffee. So it's kind of like self-fulfilling prophecy.
That's good. Why do I need to drink coffee? Well, because I'm so messed up from drinking coffee yesterday that I need coffee to recover. And when we step back from something like that, get that little bit broader perspective, then we really are willing to be curious about, is there another way here? As soon as we have that curiosity, life is happy to begin to show us, offer us new possibilities.
Yes. And there's so many. I want to practice on another subject or with a kind approach. It's not something I need to stop or quit, like a sugar, but I'm curious is, okay, let's make an experiment. And it, just for a week, changing the routine and see what happens.
Yeah. Oh, it makes life so interesting. I want to see what happens. I want to see what happens. Yeah. Pasha, it's so awareness practice, right? Because what you really want to see is you, right? You want to see what happens with you when you change a habit. How am I different when this, right? So that curiosity about ourselves just generally opens the way for us to be curious about things and willing to tackle things that ego really doesn't want us to address.
Yes, it shows that ego is not that powerful as it was.
Yes.
And it's kind of opens the door like, oh, okay, I can now doing this. What people outside noticed that during the first maybe week, I was how they describe aggro, and I think it means aggravated.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, and that's what outside. Inside, I noticed that anger and some kind of tension coming up. And I remember, oh, okay, this is what detox feels like. And I'm going through that. But in that process of going through that, I want to be kind to Pasha, and I want to be kind to people who are kind of going with me through that, even unwillingly.
Yeah, exactly. Which is, again, a benefit of awareness practice, right? Because there is that level of sensitivity. And it's Laura made reference to it earlier. You know, this kind of thing happens to us when we're ready. And so when we're ready to take a step like that, we have the sensitivity to be aware of ourselves going through it, how we are with ourselves, how we are with others, and we get to be at choice about that rather than going through it unconsciously with ego as our tour guide.
Yes. Thank you so much, and thank you, Practice.
Thank you, Pasha.
Gosho.
Thanks for joining us, Pasha. And Sherry, we have more callers here.
Good. We like that.
Yes, we do. And next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Patty calling.
Hello, Patty.
Hi, Patty.
I haven't spoken since the year-long has started, and I just wanted to throw my voice in here and, just say, one thing I want to say is that when I heard the call this morning and the sincerity of practitioners and their practice and their training, it was so inspiring.
Yeah. Yep. I'm right there with you, Patty.
And I remember you saying, well, we may have a smaller Sangha, but they're very dedicated. And I think,
Yep. And I think the quote from the guy actually was a smaller, more mature Sangha. And that I think is what you're describing. It's a grown up group of people. And it doesn't mean that everybody is at the same place in their practice or that, you know, practice is necessarily deeper than other people's practice. I don't know because I don't know other people's practice. But the point is it's speaking to that sincerity and the, the dedication, devotion. Yeah,
and
I'm inspired every day.
Well, and I had a call today with my reflective listening buddy, and I was inspired to say, okay, I'm going to, between now and next week, I'm going to record, you know, how the day went at the end of the day. And, you know, to use that in a way as a marker for me for the week. And, so all these supports and the Sangha that we talk to and hearing you every day and Ashwini, it's so amazing.
It really is. And, you know, Patty, sometimes I think, I think we don't even know how amazing it is. There's a way in which we're used to it. We're used to doing all this stuff together with a group of people who are sincere and devoted, dedicated, honest and open and vulnerable. And I don't think it happens in a lot of places in the world. I don't think a lot of people have that, especially, now, I'm sure there are people who have that sort of openness and that sort of thing with a group of people. Absolutely. They're called friends or family or whatever. But with a group of basically strangers from all over the world, probably not. And I think that, it's that we're responding to. You know, it's there's nothing personal in these relationships, nothing at all. Mm-hmm. And yet we know the most incredible intimate details of people's lives. And there's no judgment and no criticism and no nothing other than all of us just being together, practicing awareness best we can.
Yeah. I had the wonderful opportunity of, for the month of March, going on a silent retreat for the entire month. And, you know, with your eyes down and you don't know anyone, and yet, you know, it's like every time I leave a retreat, you just love the people you're sitting with. The heart is transformed. There are insights, and just this practice works, and the Buddha is, you know, well, to be verified that his teachings are true, but yeah, it's just, and so I come out of that, and I come back to our Sangha, and I'm just so warmed in the heart with all, you know, your teaching and knowing so many people and can speak personally to them. And I don't know where else we could find that. So I am just so grateful to be a part of this and to be a part of the stream of the Dharma and in practice, and it's sincerely trying my best.
Yes, exactly, and knowing that, right?
Yeah.
Trusting that, having faith in that.
Yeah, and every time I can verify the Buddha's teachings, the more faith I have, and the more enthusiasm I have to practice and train. And it just keeps going that way, which is so wonderful.
The wheel turning in the direction away from suffering.
Yes. And it's one thing to go on a retreat for a month and then you come back and that fades, but to have this every day, again, I can't say enough to thank both you and Ashwini and everyone who set this up and who supports it to make it happen, and to get that reminder of what direction we're heading in every day. Yeah,
we're very fortunate.
Yeah.
We really are.
So, Gassho for that.
Gassho. Yes. Thank you so much, Patty.
And I'm so glad I could get my voice in there.
Yes. Yes, glad you did.
Gassho.
Thanks for joining us, Patty, and amen to all of that, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think we have time for one more caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Stefania. Can you hear me okay?
Hello, Stefania.
Yes. So, I just had a record and listening with a mentor about fear that comes especially with work. And work, W-O-R-K.
Oh, work. Okay, good. Okay.
Yes. Basically, yeah, because basically everything is, everything, if you can say, is a process, but the content of work is really something that I bang my head all the time. And so today, the recording listening, the answer was like, you saw it, so you might, maybe you're not so much into it, meaning you're not so conditioned if you were able to see how the story was potentially observed. But again,
you're not so caught in it if you can see it.
Yes. At the same time, there was a pull out of that right after I said it or after the mentor just said it, and it was like, yeah, but work is important. You work with people. You work with people who are sick. And I know that that's something that I get caught a lot.
So Stefania, help me. What's the deal?
Yes, the deal is that everything is so important when I work. Uh-huh. That making mistakes is basically life and death, even if most of I'm a physical therapist, so I don't really have patients.
You're not going to kill anybody.
Yeah, but they're older, and I'm in home health, so yes, but even the one that died, they don't die because I, throw them out the window, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I didn't do necessarily something terrible that could have caused that, but there's this constant anxiety of, oh, you might have made this mistake, or maybe you shouldn't have said that, or oh, there's always like this.
Okay. So,
yeah.
Stefania, this
yeah.
is very good. This is
yeah.
very good, because I think that this is what you were pointing at. It's
yeah.
not work. Work is not a problem. That voice in your head is the problem.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
But that
yeah.
voice
well,
get caught. Yes.
Well, but the point is that voice would do that to you whatever you did. Yeah? I mean, you couldn't find work to do that voice would not do that to you over, because it's not doing that to you because of anything other than it's doing that to you.
Yes. I mean, I can see that. Like, I wanted to be a babysitter, and I was like, oh, maybe the kid is going to die an infant dying in the crib, and then they will say, oh, you should have turned the kid and such. You know, I had two kids. Luckily, they didn't die. But then, yes, I can see how it could transform in other situations, but often when it's related with people, like, completely... like if I was working at Trader Joe's, I kept telling myself I wouldn't be so stressed out about work.
Oh, yes, you would. I can promise you would. And Stefania, if you want to prove that to yourself, take a leave from the work you're doing now and get a job at Trader Joe's. And
I
prove
thought
that
about
to
it.
Yourself.
I thought it many times in all these years.
Oh, yeah, because here's the thing. It's your best opportunity to go up against those voices and put them out of business. Because it doesn't have anything to do with work or people or danger or anything else. It just, they're self-hating voices that are torturing you because they're sucking the life out of you. Okay?
Yes.
So there's no sense in doing it, right? If you were ending world hunger, then we would say, well, Stefania, I'm sorry, but we just have to sacrifice you because we need to end world hunger. But that's not the case. And so it comes down to a choice. Either you're going to stay in the job where you are and you're going to just get rid of those voices. Tell them no, and that's your practice, and you're not listening to them and you're not believing them and they no longer have access to you, which it is possible to do. It is. Or you would be well served to say, you know what, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to get a job at Trader Joe's. I'll get a discount on groceries, and it won't be life and death. and then see what they do to you in that job. Hmm. Now, if they never say anything to you again, then you can say, okay, well, this is a job for me. I wish I'd done this 20 years ago. Okay, yeah. But if they come at you still, mm-hmm. then you'll know, okay, well, then I'm just going to choose what I want to do for a living and get that job, and I know that the voices are going to come after me, and mm-hmm. I'll work to put an end to them. Because there's no sense.
Yes.
There's no sense in staying in something in life and being made miserable. There's just no mm-hmm. sense in it.
Yeah. Yeah. So to try to keep the job, because I've been thinking many times about the Trader Joe's and I'm trying to, you know, make a deal between myself and I, record and listening and basically continuing to ask the mentor to give me her advice on whatever
practice,
thing.
Practice. You're yeah. learning to redirect the attention away from the conversation in your head. As mm-hmm. everybody knows, my way was I choose unconditional love. Every second, I choose unconditional love, I choose unconditional love, I choose unconditional love. You can uh-huh. make it anything you want, but anything that you focus on that keeps you from letting the attention go to that hateful conversation in your head, that's the secret.
Mm. I usually say, I'm doing my best.
Yes. Oh, very good. Very good. And every time it wants to tell you how blah, 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 I'm doing my best. I'm doing mm-hmm. it. Say it with a grin. Do a little mm-hmm. dance step. Okay? Mm. Put a tune to it. I'm doing my best. Okay?
Okay.
And,
okay.
Yeah. Just don't take it on.
Yes, because life would change the situation. If something, you know, if I need to go to jail because I did something wrong, it would happen.
You're
because
not
life
going
would
to.
Make
that's
it happen.
Not, yeah, that's right. That's not going to happen, though. That's not
yeah, I know, but I need to basically tell myself that, you know, if there would be a consequences instead of being naive that nothing is going to happen, if it would happen, I would deal with that. Basically, that's
right.
The second word that
and
I'm telling myself.
And you will do your best. And you
yes.
will do your best in any circumstances. But
yes.
those voices are not helping.
No,
in
absolutely.
Fact, if anything went wrong, I can promise you it would be because you were distracted by those voices and not paying attention to where you are.
Mm. Yeah. Yes,
yeah.
I agree with you.
All
because
right.
of anxiety and urgency.
That's
okay,
right.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You are
thank
so
you,
welcome.
Thank you. Gosh.
Thank you.
Thank
gotcha.
You.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Stefania, and another fabulous conversation and another fantastic show, Sherry.
It's a good
How do
time,
we do
isn't it?
It? Yeah,
it's
great
a good
sangha,
time.
Great people, great practice. I'm very lucky.
Yep, we are. Thank you, sir.
All right.
So appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you. Me too. Go happy.
Go happy.